Yes. Yeehaw! It is Thursday. It is 9. So, of course, UK Cowboys time. How are we doing, Double C?
Yeah, great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm bearing up under it all under the pressure, you know?
Yeah. I've got to say, I was out in, I was over in the next town over, and they've got a Smith & Wesson sort of Western bar. And I was sitting there, I was like, I'll order the ribs. And, you know, and it was giving me throwbacks to the Thanksgiving ribs place.
Harding barbecue.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, the smells in that place. Oh, makes me miss Texas even more.
I know. And I made the mistake of wearing a white T-shirt to that place.
Well, it was white to start with.
It was for a moment. While we were on the bus. On the bus going there, it was white. Coming back, various colours. Yes, so we are here. It's another draft show. We're going to talk some bits and pieces that have cropped up this week, go through some of the news, give you some things to play with, some information, and we'll see how that goes along. Give you some what you reckons or would you rathers, whichever way you want to go there. But we'll start off first of all with the big news. The big news that there was a signing this week, Chuma Adoga. Now, I put on the, I said, look, I'm a fan of keeping Chuma, right? And I know this sounds stupid because people are just like, and I get it. I get the whole, the negativity that surrounds it, yeah? Because at the end of the day, Cowboys haven't done a lot. The moves they have made have been paper thin, and you see all these moves going on, and the Cowboys come out and go, and we've signed a backup tackle. Right, I get that, but think about it this way: there's a lot of change in the roster, especially on the offensive line, losing some pieces. There's some guys on here that have question marks, some various unknowns with it all. But Adoga is actually, and now I don't like Adoga the guard. But I do like Adoga, the tackle. The tackle isn't bad. Now, remember, he's a backup tackle to begin with. So he's not going to go out there and set the world on fire. He's not going to make these crazy moves. And but he's not going to go and get you killed. He's not going to end the game. I know kind of against Miami that did happen, which is kind of why it leaves a sort of a weird taste in people's mouths, this signing. But I think as a veteran presence, as a guy who's there to give you some depth on the offensive line and holster you and keep you afloat at a time when there are various questions, I think this is a bad signing. He's going to be on a vet minimum. That's another thing. Not a bad signing myself, but give me your full run. I've been speaking for the last 5 minutes, Craig, on this. So give me your take on what you think of the Chuma Adoga signing.
Yeah, I think it's very similar to you. I mean, it's just a group of positions we can't afford to have to fill with so few picks and the lethargy with which we've bolstered the roster. We couldn't afford to lose anyone else. He is, as you said, he's reasonable. He's not setting the world alight, but he's not going, he's not, you know, we're going to cause major issues. So yeah, it's necessary, I think, is the word that sums it up. Vet minimum. Hey, Jamie. It's okay. He could be a really good mentor to whoever we select. Hope so. He could be just a name on the roster that ends up being cut. Who knows? But I don't think we are. I don't think after the draft we're going to make huge moves in which he'll be fighting for that backup position.
Yes. Hello, Jamie. The Godfather is in the house.
Sorry, Craig. I heard you say hi. I didn't want to cut in. Sorry, mate.
No, you're all right, mate. We was just talking about the Adoga signing, and I'm saying it's not a bad move. It's short-sighted will tell you, oh, the Cowboys aren't doing much. This is another boring signing. On the when you read between the lines, or you break it down quite further, having the veteran presence, having a guy who's there for depth at a position where there are huge question marks, it's not a bad signing.
It's depth. I'll agree with that. This is no knock on the guy. Just I think, like I said, I think if the Cowboys go into the season with him as a starter, I think we've gone backwards on the offensive line. Hopefully then, like I say, saying that, hopefully I get proved wrong. But like I say, the versatility is there, isn't there? He can play outside and he can play a bit of inside. So it's one of those, anyway, it's, I think it's more of a depth signing than maybe a starter.
Hmm.
But who knows?
Hmm. Yeah. You know, like I was saying, though, Jay, I think the biggest reason people are frustrated with the sign is just because it's just like, it's not a star signing. It's not somebody who's going to come in and change it. It's just another depth signing. And I think that's what's frustrated people. I don't know if that's how you feel about it.
I get it. Just for the fact that if you look at all we've lost on that line, and the comments that the powers that be for the Cowboys front office have come out and said, then kind of backtracked and then kind of was like, well, we're in, all in on it, or however you want to put it. They kind of reworded how they said it, which I get the frustration. One of them, I was very frustrated with the comments, and we've said it countless times, not just us three, but everybody that watches and the rest of the guys that come on the admin. This team's essentially been non-relevant for nearly 30 years now. So then for the first time, the words that came out of Jerry's mouth was, we're all in. I don't think it's ever come out of his mouth that way within that 30 years. So for him to say it, I would have expected, I don't know about you guys, but I would have expected some big moves in free agency. I know we haven't got the cap space, but if you're going to come out and say that, then that should have been sorted weeks, if not months ago. I know there's the whole back situation that's got to be sorted out, but that should have been sorted out. So it's frustrating, and then like you look at it and think, well, are we in? Are we not? And then I had a bit of a conversation throughout lunch with Steve, just to kind of what were his thoughts going into the draft? Is he looking forward to it and kind of stuff? And it was like he was a bit frustrated, and it was also like, well. I think the big thing out is saying that one thing we were talking about, it probably swings back around to the whole Dak situation. If you're all in, regardless of what we think, and I've been saying, look, yeah, I don't think he's the guy to take us forward, but end of the day, it's Jerry and everybody. Now, if Dak's the guy to take us forward, get the contract done, get it out of the way, start bringing players in, start making moves to show that you are. If Dak's not, then... If that's not the guy, is it then Jerry's hoping, and I'll say what I mentioned to Stevie, is that then that Jerry's hoping that we suck this year and that's why we're not making these big splashes so we can get a high draft pick, because next year's draft class looks at the minute pretty good as well. And there's, does that mean, so is it, like this is obviously, I'm assuming, being a Texas fan, that Quinn Ewers is going to come out next year. Is it that Jerry's maybe looking at saying, look, this kid's a pretty decent quarterback. We could reset the Cowboys quarterback market and go with a rookie from next year. So it's just, I don't know if it feels like one of these off seasons where we don't know what direction this team's going, even though the ownership have said we're going in one and it clearly looks like we're going in another. But it's just a headbanger.
I think there was a really good point in there, and that because the question mark is deliberately being left there in terms of Dak and in terms of all the others, and has only been bolstered by the inactivity over the last few weeks, is the reason that we've seen people leave, not because, you know, they've had a good season and moved on, but because players inside the locker room are saying, well, hold on, we've got this set of words and this set of action, and we don't know where the future is for our QB, for our of our whole team, I don't want to go down with a ship that's being left to sunk, is the reason we've seen people move on. And that includes Dan Quinn, because they're like, we can see behind the all in words and actually see that this is a ship that's just being pushed out to sea, and we don't want to be the last ones on board. So are re-signings just kind of steady as she goes as the ship goes down?
Yeah, valid point. I mean, Jay, you want to retort, or should we move on to the next question?
No, I totally agree with what Craig's saying. There's always that thing that it's like everything in life. There's our version being fans, but then there's obviously there's the version that comes out in the media and the leaks, etc. But then there's obviously the true version. So there's always, as you probably say, three sides to every story. There, and you can only go by what you see and the conversation you have. At this moment in time, I'm not confident going into the season, and that's saying something. That's the first time I think I can remember being a Cowboys fan. I'm not looking forward to going into this season, because I said to you guys a couple of weeks ago, I personally think we're the third strongest team in the NFC East going through where we went last year. I know people are going to think differently, but that's just how I think at the minute. But who knows, maybe a good draft can change that opinion.
Yeah, I think if we do something in the draft, I think it's less about the picks, but if we do something, if we trade back and get more picks and replenish things, then that shows a commitment to the future. If we move forward and say, that's our guy, we are going to move heaven and earth and get him and then rebuild from there, that shows a franchise that actually has a direction. If we just sit and stick and see who falls to us, and then do nothing about the fact that we've got less draft classes. If it's more steady she goes in terms of the draft, then I think that shows a franchise that's just apathetic. And you're right, Jamie, this is the first season I've had in a while where I've thought, is there something going on that we're not being told about? Are we going to be given a bad season rather than have a bad season?
Yeah. I'm not to kind of go back to the quarterback situation, because I know we have them about it, but it seems like the move, and this is no disrespect to Trey Lance, but it kind of seems like the Cowboys jumped the gun a little bit, so to speak. I know Jerry weren't a fan of him coming out of the draft originally, but if you look at what the Steelers gave up to get a QB, and they've got two decent QBs. I know Russell Wilson's on the wrong side of an age when you were obviously of when players start to think because they're in retirement. But then they brought in Justin Fields, who, to be fair, wasn't helped by the Bears. I don't think he's a bad quarterback.
Yeah,
he just wasn't helped, and it was like, why did we give up a fourth for someone that essentially the 49ers were ready to chuck out the door? They were obviously licking their lips. If we'd have held off, we could have got Justin Fields. And it was like, well, yeah, we've got that next year. You've got then that fifth-year option if you wanted to use it. Whereas we've now paying someone $5 million next season. And is he really going to push Dak? I don't think he is. Is he going to see the field? Mop-up time, garbage time in pre-season, that's always what you're going to think. You're essentially wasting $5 million when you could have, like you say, you could have had someone like a Cooper Rush back or gone and got someone a little bit different. Because some of the moves are a bit head-scratching.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You know, some of them have been. But here's one for you, right? So, obviously, Adoga is back in the building. And it seems a kind of an obvious question, but it's going to lead to another one. But does Chuma Adoga, the sign-in, this is the obvious question, does it mean they are free to not have to draft an offensive tackle in this year's draft?
No, tackle or guard. I wouldn't even go center early. Tackle or guard needs to be number one pick. Whether you move up a few, whether you drop back a few, it needs to be. And you need to rebuild the great wall of Dallas.
Jay?
If you'd have asked me this question maybe a few weeks ago, I would have probably said, yeah, offensive tackle or maybe centre. But I think kind of as the draft draws a little bit nearer and you see moves being made and then you kind of think outside the box a little bit. And what I mean by that is we had a conversation the other week, Mike, where I was like, yeah, offensive tackle, it's got to be the line. And then you was like, well, actually, think of it a different way. And what about wide receiver? Because we obviously, we've not really got another really big deep threat. So then you kind of think, when you get everybody else's opinion, you think, actually, I'm not for it that way. And I think the one thing about this draft that intrigues me a little bit that is it's quite got quite good depth on the offensive line.
Yeah.
So although it wouldn't surprise me if the Cowboys went offensive line, but it also wouldn't surprise me knowing that the depth is there. I think you've definitely got to come out of the draft with at least one offensive lineman. I would even maybe say to, like you say, maybe not so much trade back out of the first round, but trade back a couple of spots to pick up some extra picks and then use that wisely. I think with being in the position where, yeah, it sucks in terms of the timing because we're going to obviously step quite late than the usual, but it's also... not so much predictable, like, and I've been in terms of, like, look at the year we drafted Zeke. It was pretty nailed on early on who they take Zeke if he was there. I think it was a four. But being that far back, you're kind of relying on the 4-4 your way, are you? So it's a bit more intriguing this year because we're so far back, but I wish it would have been a lot more simple because we could pick off the board early. And be like, let's reset for Friday night, Saturday morning, and then we can address the rest of the draft and let that fall rather than have to be at the mercy of everybody else's draft board as we know where it's on.
Yeah. Okay. So here's why I asked the question. Let's say, right now, for argument's sake, I can't see this happening. I'm with you guys. I think offensive tackle, center, are going to be some early picks in this year's draft for Dallas. Yeah. They're not able to go best player available. They need to go and select these positions of need and go out and grab these. So, I mean, they just don't have the capital to be playing around with BPA.
Yeah.
So let's say for argument's sake, just as for the sake of conversation, the Cowboys don't end up drafting an offensive tackle until day 3. Of the draft, right? So he's a guy that's going to come in. They like some certain traits. They've gone after center, linebacker, wide receiver, defensive tackle, edge, they cornerback. They take these, they've gone and sorted these positions first. Now they're onto offensive tackle, knowing that the position is deep, and we're into day 3. The guy, though, that they take isn't as good as Chuma. So would you be happy if that was the case with Adoga being your starting offensive left tackle for next season?
I'll let Jamie go first.
Oh, Jamie's gone.
Oh, no, gone completely. I think it probably would have to come down to competition in off-season. In the preseason, if this is a player that you're saying, well, actually, he didn't get as many reps, he didn't get as much of a chance, maybe he was in the wrong system, and actually, let's keep him working up until, you know, October, November, and we can get a real star long term. This is our building block for the next 5 years. Then, yeah, okay, maybe put Adoga out. Early and just let the new guy brew. But if you're picking him fourth and you're going, well, he really fourth round and you're thinking he really should have gone earlier, he's just fallen for other people's boards reason, and we're lucky to get him, then technically he's a day 2 pick we stumble across. So let's use him, let's let him mature with experience on the line. Most of the times I prefer it to be We got lucky enough and we're going to use him from day one, but it's all down to what the coaches see.
True. Yeah. I mean, like, if that was the case, my argument to that one, to my hypothetical, would be that if we're getting offensive tackle late in day three, it means then we must have solidified ourselves in some other key positions. So that's going to help itself. So that means that really Adoga needs to be out there as a guy who just needs to do enough to not break the team. And I think that's the type of guy that he is. Would I be happy with it? Not really. But I'd be obviously happy about the fact that they would have covered themselves in the other positions, and you would expect with those guys to be some kind of game changer. So I'd be expecting like a pass rusher or a wide receiver or the center, you know, like say if it was Graham Barton in the first. So I'm kind of like, okay, this is what you've done. So you've taken Barton. We've got Smith as our guard and Adoga's the left tackle. Okay. But we've also got, for argument's sakes, Cooper or Colson Wilson, maybe, which we'll get to in a moment, would be the one of the linebackers. We've got Blake Corum as our running back. So I'd be happy that these... So, okay, that's what we've done. That's how we've solidified ourselves. Then we've got to day three because there's no fourth-round pick. We now get into the fifth round, and we're picking up an offensive tackle here. And you're kind of like, ah, right, okay. So it would be, so that's why I think the Adoga signing it has that extra value centralized into it. But would I be happy? But I can see that. And that's why I asked, because there's a very strong possibility that, say, Jackson Powers Johnson or Graham Barton is your first round pick. Okay, there's the center sorted. Your second round pick, say that's linebacker. Your third round pick, running back. Let's say we get now an offensive tackle, so we use him with one of our compensatory picks, but then he's a fifth round guy, and although he's okay, there's it could be that the hand usage isn't quite up to standard, you know, maybe he needs to get a bit more sand in his pants. There could be any number of reasons why, and then that means that Chuma Adoga is your starting left tackle for the year.
Yeah.
You kind of be like, okay, maybe not for the year, but he's certainly your starting left tackle week one. And with that hypothetical being the case, I would kind of be like, but I'd be happy that they solidify themselves in these other positions. We've got Barton. We've got Cooper. We've got Blake Corum or Trey Benson. You know, you kind of be, you know, that would be how I would look at it personally. So, but it's a very real possibility that that happens, that they don't take the tackle early. They take him late in the draft, and he's going to be a guy that has to come up a little bit to be able to take the position off Adoga.
I think there's a time to, if we know that going into the season, there's a time to scheme for that. So knowing that, not a vulnerability, but just not a strength at that left ankle yet, then perhaps then you go out and pick up a cheap free agent running back who's really just, or a fullback just there to block and strengthen that side. So there's still time if we pick up a development at offensive tackle to build a system that allows him time to grow.
I'm just saying that it's a very strong possibility. And come week one, or certainly when we get into camp, Adoga is your starting left tackle. That's what I'm saying. Why I've asked those questions to get us here. But okay, let's move on to the next one. Right, guys, this is my one for you. What would you draft first? If you have the choice, back it is however you've lined them up on your board, your highest rated offensive tackle and your highest rated offensive guard or inside offensive lineman. What would you choose over either one if the choice was there for the Cowboys in round one?
Jamie?
Sorry, in terms of what, sorry, because some of the stuff I missed, because I apologize, I call it.
Just saying that if you had the choice of offensive tackle or inside offensive lineman in the first round, they're both your highest guys on your board in their respective positions, what would you choose?
That's a tough one, only because I know there's all this stuff in there about kicking Tyler Smith out, but I think Tyler Smith better inside. That's not to say that he won't develop into that, because I know he was brought in for that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say inside, but more specifically centre, just for the fact that you've got to have, I'm not saying Jack and Gareth didn't have that trust, but you've got to have that high level of player. Then there was still a bit of dodgy play here, there and everywhere the last couple of years. And especially when you lose someone like Travis Frederick, you've got to, Bianis was more kicked inside, and he kind of essentially had to learn the centre position, didn't he? And he ended up becoming a full-time starting centre. Whereas I think we need someone that can come in and play straight away and can play to a high level. And then that brings then a bit more confidence around the rest of the line. So I would say more specifically centre, and then worry about further out, later down.
Yeah.
That timing, you're right. It's critical. And if we get someone who is high on our board, who you can say, day one through however many years, injuries allowing and development, whatever, he's going to be the core for DAC, and particularly if we sort out the DAC thing, then that can be a really strong combo. The more I like Barton, and I think he could be a really good one there. Mm. I do think that there's some good, not great centres that can be that piece. That could beat out Hoffman, probably would have beat out Biadish if he'd stayed. Sort of Cedric Van Pran. There's another guy. Well, someone else. I've been doing far too many of these mock things online.
At centre?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. So, I mean, if you go, could it be Beaulieu? Zach Frazier?
But I think he's going to go sort of top end of two. I think we could pick up those. I personally would go tackle. I think there is a difference between the top five tackles and the ones further down. That if we probably going to hit running back or linebacker with tackle at two, then there's a big drop by the time you get to back end of three, then you're starting to look at development guys. Whereas I think the interior that you can get at round three is better than the tackles you can get. So I'd unless we're double dipping in one and two with the O-line, I'd probably go tackle.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Yes, but the reason I'm asking this question is a sneaky way of finding out from you guys whether you thought Smith was guard or tackle. So I'm in the agreement. I think you don't mess around with Smith anymore.
Mm.
You leave him there at guard.
Yeah.
The team had ample opportunity last season when the left tackle position was wide open with injuries, where they could have kicked Smith out. They could have put him out there and said, right, let's put him at left tackle. This is our left tackle of the future. This now is a year for him to develop at the position. This is how it's going to go. They never did. They kept him very specifically at left guard the entire time. They rotated that left tackle position as really quite a bit through injury. And they ended up finding some guys who can actually play tackle quite well. Through the process. So they had a chance, they didn't. What did we get? We got a left tackle who, among starting offensive linemen last year, had only one sack, which is some of the lowest, or it was the lowest, and only allowed 17 pressures. That's one pressure per game. Mm-hmm. So as a guy, and as well, when you think about the run blocking, I would say last season, I would say that Smith was probably the best run blocker on the team last year.
Mm.
So why would you want to mess with that? I just don't think Like, you know, we talked about it in his rookie year. Oh, you don't want to mess around with the development. You don't want to move him back and forth, back and forth. Now, all of a sudden, we want to move him back and forth. Now, all of a sudden, we want to move him from a position where he's become very strong, you know, he's solid at. We're about to lose or about to have a tackle, which could be Brock Hoffman. And now you want to move a guy who's extremely solid next to him away, further away. Like, if you're going to put Brock Hoffman in at center, or you're going to put a rookie in, what better way for him to learn and develop than between Zach Martin, who's a very, you know, we all know who Zach Martin is, and the future of Smith. You put him between those pit, you're going to have a very, very, very solid center very quickly. He's going to learn. So why do that? And I'm with you. Go get a tackle. The tackles this year are extremely talented. There are some guys, if you take them in the first round and you drop them into left tackle, they're going to be a extremely viable left tackle that very well could make a Pro Bowl in their rookie year, because they're, some of these guys are that good. So why not do that? Why not play off what is the best talent and go down that road?
Yeah. Can I just throw a spanner in, sorry, because of what Summit Craig said about double dipping?
Yes.
Just to see if the thought of it. So we all know, obviously, there's issues at offensive line, but also just as an issue, more of an issue with running back. So when you say double dip, if Jonathan Brooks goes off the ball early on day two, and at 58, would you pull the trigger on someone like Trey Benson or a Blake Holm?
Yep.
And in terms of, so you're not risking losing potentially both of them before round three?
No.
With a running back a little bit later.
Yeah. If the sweet spot for the running back is round three, round four, right? Yeah. Obviously, we don't have a fourth round pick, so it would be round three, right? If it becomes a position where you're overreaching on their board, or in my case, if I'm using my board and I can see them overreaching in round three for a running back, yeah, then I'm just going to hold out and wait. Because there are guys on day three that could work quite well, that will fit what you can do. Just in that sense, like, you know, like the running back from Marshall, Rasheem Ali, you're going to get him in the fifth round. There you go. Perfect. And he's a guy who you can put in and he can play.
Yeah.
Had a pretty good senior bowl.
Yeah. I don't think our desperation should drive us. I think that the third round, if Brooks goes, then there are three or four others, and I don't think there's enough RB-hungry teams out there to take them all off the board. So I would hope, even at the end of the third, even knowing we don't have a fourth, I would hope they hold their nerve. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be the way I would do it. Like, I'm not going to overreach on running back in the third, especially that with the fact that if my third round running backs are off board because I haven't got a fourth round pick, I don't want to be overreaching because I'm just doing myself, you know, you'd be doing yourself a disservice for whatever work you've done in the last previous two rounds. So yeah, just wait, hold out, go to the fifth round, get somebody there. That's how I would do it. But talking of something, we've got a hypothetical year from our very own SBM. So he's saying CeeDee Lamb contract negotiations, just saying hypothetically, yeah, they don't happen. Buffalo come knocking to replace Diggs, and are Jones going to be tempted with the right offer? I say absolutely not.
Yeah.
What do you guys say? I have a big reason why not, but go on, give it to me, guys.
Absolutely not. We are... WR wide receiver two is getting on a bit, and we haven't got him for long. It's not like before with Cooper, we had a 1B ready to step up. The we'd have to get as big a trade, as big a promise as they're talking about the Buffalo Bills would have to do to get up to sort of 8 to 10 to get Roma Dusé. So you're looking at a one and a couple of twos. I just don't think that that is enough. Plus, I think CD is enough of a face of a franchise. I don't think they'll do that. I don't think there's enough discontent that CD would want to make that much of a move. I don't think Buffalo have enough ammo to do it this year before this draft. Yeah, I don't see any of the conditions for it.
Yeah, Jay.
Totally agree with what Craig says. But that in turn, I mean, if you have asked, if Craig would have made that comment a month ago, I would have 100% agreed. But with how the offseason started so far, it would not surprise me one bit if the Cowboys, like you say, just with the comments that the front office made and then how they've kind of turned on that and being like, well, we've said it, but it's we so then he's envisioning it. We're going to reset next year, not so much rebuild, but not you. They're not using that term, so they're going to reset the quarterback market for themselves next year. Let Dak walk, draft somebody, take some draft picks for said player, like you said, said player on this in this occasion, CD Lamb, because you know you're going to get a bit of a haul for him, and then that means you could then look at this year maybe taking someone like Xavier Worthy a bit later on, or taking someone in the second round. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's how the kind of shifted from we're all into there's no movement. It wouldn't surprise me if the Cowboys let him go. Hopefully they don't, because like you say, if you're gonna reset it and go in a different direction, you need to at least give QB a really good wide receiver one. That's not to say that anybody in this draft is not going to be one, but you've got one there that's not long had a new coach, that's not long got some money. So why not build the offense around that and give him a true wide receiver? They say look at the other position. I just don't know. It's the first time I've been really confused with the Cowboys fan, because I just can't see the direction that this team's going in. So not as much as it would really pee me off, but it also in the other hand, it wouldn't surprise me if they let go.
Yeah, that's a good point. That if there is any hint about Parsons, or about, I know they've said, you know, we're not going to continue, but if it's there isn't even any hint about Parsons or Dak or Lamb being open for offers on, then I think all the uncertainty goes away. I think you're right. It's a reset. It's a clearing shop kind of situation. And I would be really angry at that, because why wasn't that something that was done? Because they said the lethargy around the rest of the free agency was because we've got these big things in the future to deal with. If you knew that you were considering them putting it out the door, then actually you've got space. You could have made moves. You could have done something earlier. It seems like if that is even part of their thinking, then alarm bells go off.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that was starting to get me worried in the off season, at the start of this off season, where they apparently were all in, was everybody, well, we'd known for quite a while, that's not disrespect to Tony Pollard, but we just knew he wasn't really a running back one. That this off season, we needed a running back one. There were some really good players out there. Yeah, I know free agency, a lot of money gets thrown around, but if you're going all in again, you pay them big bucks. we didn't go for any of them. And it was when the reports came out that we looked at, was it Moss that went to the Colts? I could be wrong with the name. And they paid him, they gave him a two-year contract at $4 million a year. And the Cowboys said that they couldn't really afford to pay that, and he was a bit rich. And it was like, come on. It's like, if you're all, you need to have a really good running game. And if they weren't willing to pay $4 million for a running back that had done pretty well, and that was relatively cheap for some of the money that had been laid out previously over the last couple of days before. And it's like, well, this is clearly not the direction the Cowboys are going in, because they're not willing to spend at least $4 million a year on the running back.
Yeah, agree. And Brian coming in, letting us know Lyle Collins is off to the Bills after we just talk about, could the Bills come up for CeeDee Lamb? We got jinxed. But, I mean, returning to SBM's comment on, do you reckon? I say no. Two reasons. He's too expensive for what the Cowboys would be asking for. There's just way too much. And that's mostly down to the fact that there is so much on offer in this year's draft. So because there's just so much on offer in the draft, it dilutes what you can get in terms of a trade. So the Bills are obviously doing a sort of a wide receiver rebuild. Diggs is too expensive. Diggs, funnily enough, his contract that we're seeing, and Brian made the comment in the chat before, and he's absolutely right, it is the same as the Dallas Cowboys with Amari Cooper trade. People are saying, oh my God, I would have offered a second. The extra picks are superfluous. That's a way to get the Houston Texans to take on the contract, because the contract is so expensive. It's just too much for them to handle. So they have to offer them extra to be able to take it, which is what we did with the Browns and Amari Cooper, because it's just too much to handle, basically. That was an interesting comment. Got another one, though, and this is quite a good one, because it actually segues into the next thing I'm going to ask you guys. So Joe asks, did you expect Diggs to go to Houston? I didn't expect him to go to Houston, no. But ironically, if there was any team that could take on a player's large contract for the cap, it would have been the Texans. People keep talking about the moves the Texans are making right now. Yeah, it is impressive, but it's because they've got so much in cap that they're able to play with it, and that's why Diggs went there. But here's my question, guys, for you. Who wins the battle this year when the Cowboys face the Texans, when it's Diggs versus Diggs?
Not to jump in too quick, but I think Trayvon wins it. But to be fair, I think you should ask this question the week before the week of the game, just so we can kind of look back. But I think as the offseason is progressing, I think overall, I think the Texans win the game. I just think that they're better built at the minute than us all around. They've got a brilliant head coach that's obviously instilled a very good philosophy on the team. I was watching some of the stuff, working around social media earlier on. Clearly, they won quarterback draw from the draft. They got not saying that Bryce was an awful quarterback. He got into an awful situation, but I just think CJ Stroud fits their system perfectly and great for them. But some of the draft moves they made, even though they'd only just drafted him. So I think, was it the wide receiver that they drafted later on? They actually consulted with CJ Stroud about it. And some of the options. So I wouldn't say, I agree that it's probably they've made this move a lot of cap space, so they've taken on some draft capital to do that. But I also think they were that by CJ Stroud as well, to say, look, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think? because he's clearly the face of that franchise for a good long time. So
you're
going to do that, and that's why I say what you would assume that the Cowboys would maybe do. Dak, if Dak's the guy, they would go out and say, "Look, we're looking at this guy, that guy. What is your thoughts?" Who knows? It's always very cloudy around the Cowboys.
Yeah, very similar. So if we took, ignoring the couple of games before Trayvon went down, if we took Trayvon the year before, his breakout year, versus Stephon last year, Trayvon should shut him down. I think the Bills' issues in the start of the year weren't really a Josh Allen issue. They were a receiver issue more than anything else. And almost as they prioritised the running game and put Stephon on ice is when the Bills started that miraculous recovery. Texans are loaded up and know that they're on a clock in terms of on a rookie contract with someone who could be very, very good. Like Bengals in the second year with Burrow.
Yeah.
Great quarterback dropped into a great situation and made the Super Bowl in their second year. So Stephon seems like a sign that the Texans are saying, we're not coming for the division, we're coming for the Chiefs. And we're going to load up with everything that we could to win a shootout. Again, Dallas recently aren't there to win shootouts. And all the signs are that we wouldn't win a shootout. So Trayvon might win the MVP of the game, but I don't think Cowboys win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right. So let's finish with this last question, guys, and then we'll start shutting this down and getting out of here. Here's a good question for you. Out of Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak, who's the one player out of those they absolutely need to sign? So hit me with who you think out of those top three the Cowboys need to sign, like, who's number one priority, essentially.
It's interesting because all three fell to us. All three weren't our,
they were BPA. They weren't our top of our board. They weren't who we went into that draft looking for.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to think about the Green Bay game because none of the three had their day there.
True.
I think CD is excellent. I think Parsons can be a wrecker. I don't think they can change the momentum of a game or take a team on their back. I think for the intangibles, it's Dak. But the fact it's difficult to replace a quarterback with those intangibles and with that skill set, it's Dak. I think the market isn't there for that Dax level of QB without, you know, a history of injuries and huge contracts and whatever other kind of baggage they're coming with. Whereas I think you can chop and change the other two if, God forbid, we lose them. So for me, it's Dak, and that's probably quite unpopular.
No. Go on. I'll give you mine in a moment. But Jamie, go on. Hit me with it, the Godfather.
Mike Parsons, without a doubt.
Skill level.
Lamb is a legit wide receiver one. He is a huge threat to the Cowboys offense. But for me, Mike Parsons is head and shoulders the best player on this roster. And it's not even close. And that's not to take away from anybody else. Like I say, Lamb is top five wide receiver for me in the NFL. Zach Martin is the best guard in the league for me. Trayvon Diggs, top three cornerback in the league. But it's just Parsons is just phenomenal. He's got better year after year. Teams struggle to slow him down. He sets the tone. flash how the defense plays. When he's not played tonight, you've seen how the defense struggles. If I had to lose two, I'd rather lose Dak than Parsons, and to build that defense around him.
Yeah, I mean, all of that, absolutely. I think the only uncertainty I have, and we've seen it more and more, what was it? He went from sort of week 5 to week 12 without a sack, and we were watching and we were screaming, and all the like chat groups were on fire. And it wasn't because he was so dynamic. It was because he was being held and them not calling. So the only thing I wouldn't be sure about is Parsons is that player. And unfortunately, the way the league is moving, they don't want sacks as much. They don't want him to feast. I definitely feel that he's being held back by the rules and the officiating and the way the game is from being... I think he is top 5 defense player, full stop, in the league. I think his potential is being held back. And so it's frustrating. He's probably the best player on the team, but in terms of can we lose him and replace him and the team have a shot, I think because he's being ruled out of the game, it's unfair on him, but he's less impactful because the scheme works against him.
Yeah. I mean, here's how I look at it, right? Wide receivers in the draft are abundant. They're easy, so that replaces Lamb. Pass rushers, they're also abundant. They're easier to find. Quarterbacks are a lot harder to strike on. We see time and time again, first-round quarterbacks failing for a number of reasons. And there's one major reason why they fail, which I think is unfair to rookie quarterbacks, but there we go. That's the beauty of the beast. I think that out of the three, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Dak, out of those three, you sign Dak as your priority. And I'm also remembering the days after Troy Aikman. And those years after Troy Aikman still give me PTSD to this day, where we went through a range of quarterbacks. I mean, some of it was sickening and it was terrible to watch. And you talk about having, say, a very decent pass rusher or a very decent wide receiver. We lost those guys. We had those guys. We had really good pass rushers and wide receivers, and we lost them because we didn't have a decent quarterback. So he would be the one I would want. Whether the team decides to do that is still yet to be unknown, because they just don't seem to be... They seem to contradict themselves in comments week by week that it's... We have no discussions with Dak on a contract. And then by the end of the week, it's Dak's our guy. And you're like, well, which is it? Which way are you going? How I feel it's going is I think they're going to sign Dak to an extension after June 1st. That's how I think it goes. And then the money that you save on the cap from the signing is what they use to sign up your rookie class that you've taken in the draft.
Say, I'm just going to say what that's half on more and more about it is, do you think that is the guy, because would the Cowboys have not got this done earlier? And also with how they got stung when he signed this contract, because the Cowboys could have got him for, and this is not disrespect or anything, but it's a business, isn't it? They could have got him for $10 million, or were they saying around $10 million cheaper if they signed him earlier last time, and they didn't. He balled, and he balled out. Now, the Cowboys surely wouldn't be stupid enough to, from a business standpoint and a cap standpoint, to let this play out in this season and see how he plays. And if he doesn't play well, try and lowball him, or just say, well, we'll let you walk. Or he absolutely balls out and it just completely prices him out. If they think he's the guy, completely prices him out, of getting him because the market's just going to be so high for how he played.
Yeah. Echoing what you were saying earlier on a different question, I think a few weeks ago I would have said they're going to lock up Dak. This is just like they did the two times before. This is just them messing around. This is just them maybe trying to squeak a deal or trying to stay in the headlines or anything, you know, Cowboys-esque. I don't know. Enough that I'm thinking, is it worth getting a Dak shirt this year? I don't know what direction or even if the Cowboys have a direction of travel. And I, by this point, I'm 50-50 on whether they would take it right up to the last minute to risk it. And Dak goes, you know what? I've made my money. I'm going to go play cheaper elsewhere and stick it to you.
As possible.
And then however many other, not take with, go with him, but how many other players say, well, we're not going to rest my short career on this uncertainty. I'm going to go find someone else, somewhere else.
See, I'm not as savvy as you guys on the salary cap stuff. So just thinking, so I know like when they cut players, they can designate them, Carver, and say like they're going to be cut after this.
Yeah.
So if the Cowboys would have already done a deal with Dak to get this done, could they have assigned it to be, like say, a June 1st loan so that they can have it from them?
Yeah, but there's no point in doing that because his dead cap is way too much.
Yeah, so I mean, I wonder if, like say, if they could have done it that way, but
obviously. It would be pointless. The dead cap, and you've got these Voyagers you've got to play with beyond that as well. So they would be literally pointless making him a June 1. It's just like you gain nothing from it.
Yeah.
But there we have it. But all right, then let's get on and pay the bills, guys, and we can get out of here. Godfather, you're on. So you're in on this one. Come on and hit us with it, mate.
Yeah. If you are thinking of heading out to watch the Cowboys in Big D in 2024, make sure you hit up the sponsors of the podcast and our good friend, Cowboys Experience, for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, much more. Us three was part of the tour last year at the UK Cowboys fans Thanksgiving tour. And went out there so we could all vouch for it. Had a great time. The current players, former players, I think it was there, it was Kenny Gant and the original 88, Jewel Pearson, and Chile was there. Bunch of fans from all around the world. Great day out.
So,
Juan A. Thomas. I think there was Sam Williams, to name a few. Yeah. So if you're going to go there and want to maximise your trip, make sure you hit these guys up and when you use the promo code of UK Cowboys. Because if you do, what do we get, boys?
Free stuff. Good evening. Yes, so that is it from us this week. We will be back Tuesday. We will do another Project Prospect where we're looking at pet cats in the draft. So that should be a fun show. That is on Tuesday, 9 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Central time. So make sure to tune in. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, guys. I started with the first word of this show, so these boys have got the last word. Have a great week, folks. Go for it, guys.
And thanks for tuning in, guys and gals. Have a safe week. The draft is nearly upon us. And as always, go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys. Show a pulse. Give us heart.